This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, we are coming down to the final few weeks before the end of the year, and we appreciate all of you who have been listening to us during this past year, and for those of you in particular who have gone out of your way a little bit in order to help share this podcast by telling others about it to help our podcast grow. We hope that those of you who haven't done so yet, if you could go out and use whatever platform you're listening to give us 5-star nice comments. And we would appreciate that to help our podcast grow. And beyond that, because we are in the holiday season, in which it is a gift-giving time, one way of giving gifts to us would be to use our Amazon affiliate link. So if you go to the MagicWordPodcast.com and scroll down to the bottom of the page, any page, there is a link there, actually a big banner ad that says we are an Amazon affiliate. When you click on that, it will take you directly to your Amazon account. So whenever you order things, we get a few pennies of each of your purchases as an affiliate of Amazon. Costs you nothing. There's no additional charge nor anything. Very easy to use. In fact, you just would normally buy things like you normally do on Amazon. It's just that by going through this link, it will help us. So please help out if you can. If you want to go the extra mile, certainly we are looking to have more friends of the Magic Word, and those are the financial donors who give us financial aid through their support, either donations that are on some sort of a regular basis, whether it's annually or quarterly or just from time to time, as your financial situation might change, where you can help us. And then there are those who are patrons who use Patreon or PayPal.com in order to help give us funds each month, which will help us to keep this podcast going and help defray all the expenses we have for paying for our domains, hardware, software, travel to the different conventions, because I know you like hearing what the reports are from each day of these conventions. And we went to 7 conventions during this past year, and probably going to be about that many again here this coming year. A couple of overseas conventions, of course, which include not only FISM, but also be attending Blackpool. Well, this week, speaking of international performers and international travels, our guest today is going to be James Harrington, who is one half of the duo called Mind to Mind, and they were performing at the Magic Texas Convention during this past year, which was held the first weekend of September, and this was their first appearance, actually, at a Magic convention where they're performing. They have been to other conventions, but they had not actually performed, and they were a breakout hit. Everyone was telling me the unique to go and see this show. Everyone had to sign up for it. It was not one of the things that was part of an evening show. They actually had a small room that seated about 35 people, something like that, and you had to make reservations to go and see the show. And it was very intimate, and it allowed them to give an experience unlike any other two-person mind-reading act that I've ever seen. And the way they communicated with each other was absolutely phenomenal. Now, as we get into this week's episode, I didn't feel as if that I have been giving away any of their secrets any more than I would be giving away any other act that uses some kind of a code. I believe it's one of those things that's Occam's razor. The audience has to think they must be talking to each other somehow or another, but I just don't know how. For all acts, I mean, obviously the two-person psychic connection does not truly exist, and everyone recognizes that. And so, whatever you think, obviously must be the answer, is probably the correct answer. But the methodology that each of the mind reading acts might use, whether it's the Evisons, the clairvoyants, or whoever it might be, they are all a little bit different kind of ways of how they would communicate with each other. And their personalities make their shows unique. And this particular show that James and Marina do together in their mind-to-mind act is amazing. This week, we will feature just James Harrington as one half of the duo because Marina, his wife, was unfortunately unavailable to join us. They had completed their run of all the shows, and she was just pretty much drained and to the point where she had a migraine headache, which I thought was kind of ironic. So she had been overusing her mind and was unable then to sit down and chat with us. And I really wish that she would have been able to. But James gave us a lot of really interesting information and giving us his background, having come from England and the two of them living over in Dubai then right now, and how they perform and the kinds of shows they do, et cetera, et cetera. This is just a delightful conversation. So please welcome my guest this week, who is half of the Mind to Mind group, Mr. James Harrington, here on The Magic Word. Today I have with me one half of a group, but also he works independently as well, and that's James Harrington, and he works with Marina, and I can't pronounce her last name, is
Liani.
Liani, yeah. Liani, because you're from the UK and she is from Ukraine, both got a U and a K in it. That's kind of interesting. And she's not with us in right now. Usually when I talk to people who have a two-person mind reading act, I speak to both of them, but you'll probably be speaking to her, I'm sure, as we are talking. She's picking up these signals from you already all the
time,
I'm sure.
Exactly.
So here he is, James Harrington. Hey, James, how are you?
Hey, very good. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. I'm glad we had a chance to finally get together. And seeing your act here, we are currently at the Magic Texas, the Search ATOM, Magic Texas Convention, which is a combined convention. And I would say that as I've gone around done reports on the convention, that your act, Mind to Mind, has been unilaterally the one that people say is the best. And they have enjoyed, I mean, this was a solid convention. Everything was great from start to finish. And we have memories to take away. It's like, you know, that couple, I don't know quite how they did that so quick and the way they were doing it. So congratulations to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. It's been an amazing experience. One of the reasons we wanted to do this is both of us have a phobia of performing for magicians. Mm-hmm. And I think that's quite common in the industry.
That's true.
So it was important for us to kind of face that fear, and we learned so much from it.
Yep.
And it was so rewarding to be able to perform for our peers, people
right.
that we respect and admire.
Right.
It was daunting. Yeah, it was, we were more nervous than we ever are on our stage in Dubai.
Right. Because Dubai is where you normally work. I guess I should back up and say that Dubai is where you live, and that's where you do most of your performances, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. So I've been in Dubai for 16 years. Marina's been there for 12 years. We met over there. And now we have a theater show that runs weekly. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lovely place to be. Super safe.
When it runs weekly, is it like just like one day a week, like on a Monday or Saturday?
Yeah,
or what?
It's every Friday. And the plan is so we started once a month because mm-hmm. there aren't any other residency magic shows in Dubai.
Okay.
So we started once a month and we've been building. We then went on to twice a month. Now we're on once a week. And then in this next season, starting in October, we're hoping to build that up to eventually five nights a week.
Five nights a week. Is it just that you're starting to build a clientele where people are coming in and they're realizing, hey, this is really good, and telling their friends? So it's all word of mouth, I guess, mainly? And
yeah, because you don't really have that culture of show in Dubai like you do in Vegas, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't come there expecting to see
a show.
See something. So
yeah.
So it's about kind of building that as a destination for shows, and hopefully there'll be more magic acts coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, there's plenty of room for all of us, but secondly, the more there are, the better it is for all of us,
right?
Because then it enables things like cross promotion. It's unlikely, even though it happens sometimes, but if we're running five nights a week, someone's going to come to our show one of those nights if they're on vacation in Dubai,
right?
But if they love it, they'll go to another magic show.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it is good for everybody,
yeah.
I guess, you know, basically. And it's in a hotel, resort, casino?
Yeah, that's in Jumeirah Beach Hotel.
Okay. And have they had other venue or other acts or variety acts working in there, or are you the first ones that use the space?
We're the first ones. So the theater that we're in, it's a lovely theater. It was an incredible find. I've been there 16 years.
Wow.
And I never knew about this theater. They only use it for corporate events.
Okay.
But there's a ballroom on the ground floor.
Okay.
And then one level up, that's where the auditorium is. And I've performed close-up magic for corporate events in that ballroom, but never seen the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And then a friend of Marina's went there because there was a, I can't remember what it was. I think there was a kind of like an art exhibition in the auditorium.
Okay.
So she sent us some photos and then we're like, okay, we've got to try.
Yeah.
Because we were at the QE2 before that,
mm-hmm.
Which is a ship that is permanently docked in Dubai and has become a hotel.
Kind of like the Queen Mary, I guess, in LA or Long Beach.
Yeah, 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 exactly that. So that was a great place to start. It was a beautiful theater as well. But the location was tough for a lot of people to get to.
Hmm.
So when we found the Jumeirah Beach Hotel, we were like, okay, we need to try. So then we invited the team that runs the auditorium there to come and see our show. And then they immediately said, yes, let's start.
Right.
So then we started that last December.
And how many seats are in that?
450.
450. Do you fill it up?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
good on you.
We sell out probably 3 times a month.
Okay.
And then there's usually one, which is like 80 or 90%.
Okay.
But it's going well. And that's why we're going to start building it up.
Having more nights adding to it then as well. Has it mainly been, James, word of mouth as far as the spread of how people find out about you, or is the hotel promoted? Or
yeah, so it's pretty much just word of mouth and social media advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's it.
Okay. Hmm.
Yeah.
And that has obviously worked pretty well. And as far as your crowds coming into Dubai, are they mainly English-speaking people, or have you got someone? I mean, they can't translate what you do into any language as quickly as you do it. So, I mean, it has to be English or nothing, I would think.
Yeah. So because Dubai is such an international hub, the first language there spoken by the majority of people is English, even though it's an Arabic country.
Yeah.
If you only spoke Arabic, you would struggle because...
Hmm.
Anywhere in the service industry, if you go into a hotel or if you go into a restaurant.
Restaurant, right.
They never speak Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are very few locals who work in those places. It's maybe 20% local.
Okay.
And 80% expat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. So I was just going to compare that like to the hotel where we're staying here. The housekeeping service also doesn't speak English, which kind of goes like what you were just saying. It just occurred to me about if you speak only Arabic, you're limiting your opportunities and some of the things you do. And the same thing when I was trying to speak with some people and say, hey, can you bring me some more towels? And I see them in the hallway. This lady handed, held a phone in front of me to interpret what I was saying, basically, and translating it then to Spanish so that she could understand what I was saying. So you are kind of at a disadvantage if you just speak the one language.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's good for our act because you do need to be able to speak English to see our act, and everyone that comes can.
Have you learned Arabic then as well since you've been there for a while?
No. I tried. I did. I really tried. So I started doing
a difficult language
doing a course. Well, the problem is when you start doing an Arabic course, there's so many different
dialects
of Arabic.
Yeah.
The Arabic that you study is written Arabic. So to an Arabic speaker, what I was saying sounded like somebody speaking Shakespeare to us.
Yes.
It doesn't sound natural.
I understand.
And then I realized that you would have to pretty much go for just Gulf Arabic, for example, and then learn that. But then that doesn't give you the ability to speak to anybody who speaks Arabic.
Outside of that Gulf Arabic. Yeah, yeah. Interesting. I think Chinese would be like that too.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. True.
So many different dialects within that. Well, let me go back also, I guess, just to having moved to Dubai. I mean, you said you've been there for about 14 years and you hadn't met Marina, I assume, by that time.
No.
You were just doing magic over there.
Yeah.
And you had come from the UK, I'm assuming, because, hey, it's Dubai, that's where the money is.
Well, yeah, kind of. So I had a temporary contract in Dubai for 2 different months in 2008.
With an agent or a corporate company?
Yeah,
or?
So it was an agent in London, and it was through a friend of mine called Matthew Garrett. He'd recommended me. Ended up doing these 2 contracts, and the main British stereotype is that we complain about the weather. So it was lovely to be in a place where I didn't have to complain about the weather.
So what'd you find to complain about then?
Well, it gets too hot in the summer.
Okay, there we go. There's got to be something. Got to be something.
Sometimes the AC is too cold.
That's good. Yeah. Typical British. Got to find something there to complain
about. Yeah, exactly.
But then you got there, Sam.
So then I went with the attitude that it wasn't about the money for me. Mm. I just figured, regardless, it's better to be broke on the beach.
Yeah. Ah, Kind of like a Jimmy Buffett, you know, Mark Weedville. Yeah, better be broke on the beach.
Exactly. Yeah, good, nice, and that's great. That's all I need.
Yeah.
And then I spent maybe the first month just approaching every single agent in Dubai. I did magic in bars every night. I didn't stop for a month. And that 1 month gave me enough work to last me.
No kidding.
Yeah. Right.
Because they saw you and they said, hey, we're going to... Now, were they doing private parties or were there company corporate events?
It was private parties and corporates, yeah. Uh-huh. Probably 80% corporate, I'd say.
Oh, I would have thought just the other way around. People, you know, having parties all the time or something. Because, I'm kind of thinking about, like, what David Stone had told me about working, like, in Monte Carlo and Monaco down there for these people who are coming in off of yachts. And they've, you know, they've got a lot of money, but they're not doing something corporately. They're paying out of their pocket just as a private party, you know, kind of thing. And I imagine you have a lot of that, you know, there then, too, but...
The more that we've leaned into doing mind-to-mind, the more private parties we're getting. Because mm-hmm. I always thought corporates were where the money is. No, it's private parties.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
When you were in England, it sounded like that you were doing a lot of close-up then as well to begin with. Were you doing like strolling like at weddings and things like that, I assume?
Yeah. Weddings, corporate events, private mm-hmm. parties. Yeah.
Has the... That market kind of gone down. I was talking to someone recently here at Magic Texas who was from England and saying, you know, that the market has changed a little bit, I guess, in the UK. It's not quite as vibrant as it was.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not.
You've been away from it for a while, yeah, I'm sure, there, so I can't speak to that.
In Dubai, it's just getting better and better, apart from the COVID.
Post-COVID
has been better.
Sure. And you were there during COVID, so yeah. I guess you stayed there for 2 years because you couldn't get out.
Yeah, well, we have a friend in Dubai called Felipe. He's a pickpocket magician.
Okay.
So during that time, we had to move out of our villa because it was too expensive and we weren't making any money. So we sold our car, moved out of our villa, and we all got a place together mm-hmm. for the 2 years and just kind of closed the windows, locked the doors, and just hoped for the best.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But it was during that time that we wrote our theatre show. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's called Connected.
Okay.
Because that was what we were desiring most at that point.
Yeah.
And it was what we didn't like about doing Zoom shows is the lack of the ability to truly connect with the audience.
Correct.
And we find it very difficult to pretend.
I hadn't thought about that, but doing a two-person mind-reading act on Zoom, it's too easy to say, she's over watching another camera or something.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to sell that kind of a show.
Yeah, we did a couple, and ironically, we had to use the coins over the eyes with the duct tape to prove that,
okay.
even though she genuinely isn't looking.
Right, and there's nothing in my ears. yeah.
But it was, I didn't enjoy it. So we just ended up focusing purely on writing the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because
during that period,
the pandemic made us realize that even though it was really difficult financially, relationally, and aside, if we could stop thinking about the financial worries, mm-hmm. we were still just as happy as when we had things.
Yeah,
it wasn't the desire for things; it wasn't things that made us happy at all. It was having each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons we decided to take the leap into theater. And just kind of throw everything up in the air and just see where it landed. Because for
kind
us,
kind of a leap of faith.
Yeah,
faith,
and it was more important to do something that we were artistically proud of,
mm-hmm.
and something that we like our theatre show's our baby, and it, the amount of work that's gone into it, and then what we're getting back now in terms of just performance satisfaction, just the feeling when we come off stage is the best feeling in the world.
Wow! I'm going to get so much into the mind of mine here shortly, but going back to Dubai, when you were kind of getting started before that you had met then Marina, I want to find out about the magic in Dubai. And you said you were working restaurants or kind of pubs and different places to try to get work. Were there other magicians you were competing against, or was it like a new thing for them?
No, there were two other magicians at the time when I arrived. There was this Felipe that I just mentioned.
Magician pickpocket.
Yeah. And a magician called Gaston Kita.
I know that name. Okay.
So he's done a Penguin lecture.
He's done
releases for the magic community in the past. He's an incredible stage illusionist.
Okay.
So it was really nice to... There were only two other guys in Dubai, but they were both super talented.
Mm-hmm.
So still had to keep sharp.
Right.
But we ended up all becoming good friends. Of course, there's enough room for everyone.
Right.
And again, it was the same thing as I mentioned earlier about theatre. The more magicians there are, the more people start to think of that as being a good thing to have.
An alternate form of entertainment.
Yeah. As long as they're good.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Yeah. It can be tough if some magicians come over that can be disappointing, let's say, to clients, and they're charging less. Then clients just kind of go, okay, let's book something else next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all friends. Gaston's left now. There's probably about 100 magicians in Dubai now.
Oh, golly, okay. Yeah. You mean you don't have a club, or you're part of a ring or an assembly or anything, I assume? Or
there is a small club which is headed by a friend of mine called Dimitri.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a shop there called the Brown Bear Magic.
So there is a magic shop where you can go and buy props and books and things. Hmm.
Yeah, so they have a group and they have regular sessions there at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. He's actually a guy, I'm very impressed with him, because I met him probably 7-8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a magician at all. I did some tricks. We were out in a bar and we happened to meet through a mutual friend. And I showed him a few things. I think I did I bent a coin and did some card stuff. And then I taught him how to do a Charlier cut,
mm-hmm.
and then gave him the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw him 8 months later and he's doing all this cardistry stuff.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, that was quick.
You really flipped a switch there on him. It's like, I can do this and I can do this. And
yeah. And then a year later, he's opening his own magic shop.
Oh my gosh.
And he's done so well.
That's good for him.
Yeah.
So that's really the only magic shop, I guess, around. Do you buy a lot of your stuff there, or you still buy things online? I would think that it's kind of expensive to get things shipped.
Yeah, but the only thing we really buy is cards.
Yeah.
Okay. We generally don't buy anything anymore.
They don't have many books that are there or something? Or
so, yeah, okay. Books-wise, yes, I love reading.
Okay.
I like reading on the theory of magic and performance.
Right.
But when it comes to actual tricks that might go in our show,
gotcha.
Marina gave me a brilliant rule.
What's that?
Which has saved me thousands.
What's that? Okay, this sounds interesting. What is this?
This came after I bought the fourth table that cost several $1,000s and we only ever used it as a table.
Okay.
She said, okay, we can buy anything we want, but I want to see what the routine is first.
See what the routine is first before you buy it.
Yeah.
Rather than buying it and then putting a routine around it.
I have to write the routine first.
Huh.
Yeah. And there's been a few things where I've said, yeah, we'll come up with something, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
Because the nerd in me wants that thing.
Of course. Right. Don't we all?
Yeah, that's really helpful.
That's a better way of looking at it, because not only that, then after you say, okay, what's the routine you put around, you think, well, I could probably accomplish that by using a different method or another item or whatever that is a little bit cheaper, or I can build this or whatever. Huh. That is really interesting. That's a good thought. She's brilliant. I wish she was here. I would thank her for that.
Yeah,
I think she's going to save a lot of people some money with that little tip.
It's great.
I do want to get to her, because she's from the Ukraine, and she had, and you two had met somewhere, and how was she involved in magic or in mentalism? Or she probably had nothing to do with it until you brought her into your world.
Yeah. So Marina and I had first crossed paths at the Formula One. She was doing some modeling there in the paddock club, and I was performing close-up magic.
It's hard to believe she was a model.
Oh, gosh, I know,
she's so
right?
beautiful. Oh, my goodness. She's stunning.
I'm very lucky.
All the more reason I wish she was here with us. So I could compliment her as well and have something to look at, too, besides you.
Yeah, I know.
She was a model, yes, okay, for the race.
Yeah, and then we didn't really speak.
Okay.
We kind of just saw each other, but then
performing, or were you just there? Okay.
Yeah, I was performing roaming close-up magic. And then 2 years on, we saw each other on Tinder.
Mm.
And matched, and that was that. And by the way, I'm still frustrated, because we met on Tinder.
Yes.
We're now married.
Yes.
And we have a show about connection,
mm-hmm.
and we're still not sponsored by Tinder.
I assume that you've gone after them saying that, hey, look at what we have done and accomplished, that you should float us a little bit of something.
Yeah, we sent them an email, but no.
It went any place.
I don't think it'll happen anymore, because apparently now Tinder isn't allowed in Dubai.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was just in its infancy, I guess, when they were just getting started and everything. And then why is it that Dubai has shut that down? Because of the religion there?
Yeah, I think so. It's, even though it's... If you go there as a tourist, or even if you live there, it feels very westernized.
Yeah, okay. I've never been there yet.
And it's not very strict. Mm. You can do anything that you can do in America. Here, for example, with regards to drinking and partying, and you can wear what you like.
You don't have to wear a hijab or
no, okay. No. But I think things like that, like something that's geared just towards dating, I think they kind of just went, okay, let's not push it.
Okay,
let's do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
So I think that's the reason.
Hmm.
And I understand there were Tinder did go downhill quite a lot in Dubai. In the last few years, as I've heard from single friends.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's become
a hookup app.
There's a lot of scammers on there and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got super, super lucky to meet Marina on Tinder. She was only on the app for a day because her friends had convinced her to try it.
Yeah. And coincidentally, you just happened to be the day you were looking.
Yeah.
Funny how that fate works like that.
But I know her, and she would have deleted the app within 24 hours, for sure.
Okay. Okay, so you happened to connect with her, but she wasn't interested in magic then at the time necessarily, although she was interested in you, I guess, because she saw you doing some magic, you said, from when she was at the Formula One races.
Yeah, so she loved magic, but at the time she was working for a local airline company.
Hmm.
And I'd wanted to do a second sight act for years. So the first time I'd seen this type of act was in 2012, where I watched a video by Falkenstein and Willard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blown away. And I put an ad out on Facebook to try and find somebody to do the act with.
Oh. Hmm.
Not realizing that I don't think it can really work if you're not in a relationship.
It's very true. You just can't have someone that's kind of now and again. It has to be someone that you're working with all the time and living with, you know, because you have to be one mind.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So then I kind of abandoned the idea. And then years later, when I'd met Marina, we were in my apartment back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered, and I was like, let me show you this video. And she had the same response watching Falkenstein and Willard as I did.
Right.
The years before when I'd seen it. So I was like, do you want to try? So then she said yes. And we started very quickly developing our own systems.
As well you should, because as I recall, because it excited me then as well, and I knew Francis and Glenn pretty well, and it's like very archaic. The kind of language they use is like, and tell me quick, say it now. You know, or different things they were saying. It's like, people don't talk like that. And so, you have to develop your own system.
Well, I think it's important because it's your own system, it can fit within your way of speaking.
Yes, right.
Because we wanted it to sound like we always say the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because if it was real, it'd be, what's this, what's this, what's this?
That's what you're saying.
And that was the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so Marina was, so we still now do 3-4 hours of practice every day,
mm-hmm.
Without fail, because I think it's going to be a lifetime of work.
Sure. Sure, it will be. I mean, they've made a lifetime of it before Glenn had passed. And Evasons are another group, you know, I'm sure they're going to be, Jeff and Tess will be doing that forever.
Exactly.
And other people who are, of course, the clairvoyants, you know, Tommy and his wife. It's something that works, and there are very few people who do that. I recall I was telling somebody earlier this week about when I was working at Magic Island in Houston, and Vic Kirk and his wife Mary, that's not a name that you would know necessarily, was one of these underground guys who was like, he was the Johnny Thompson, basically, of underground magic, and did a little bit of everything. And the two-person mind reading act was one of them. And I remember sitting at dinner with him one evening, and as he was talking, then it was so funny, his wife was cutting her steak or whatever, and then she'd say, a comb, you know, and then, you know, a phone book, you know, or, and so as he was having a casual conversation, I realized she's picking up something that he's saying just like that, because it's so natural. They're still working, even though they're not working, you know, or practicing, you know, it was just so funny.
It's amazing.
So it is something I think that you have to go. Now, you never met Tommy Tucker, I assume.
I didn't.
Okay. But I know what people probably are saying to you all the time is that you have to be saying something to her, but I don't know what that is. And you guys must have this connection, you know, with you. And so that's why the word mind to mind and connection is perfect for that. I've said a whole lot more than I really should be saying about all of this, and I apologize, but I don't want to go into any more detail really than that. But I just think that it's amazing how you guys do what you do. Just like I'm always impressed by Jeff and Tessa from the standpoint, they're both talking at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, how can she be listening if she's talking and whatever. And there was something the other night that Marina had done that was so impressive. It's not just the information that's, let's say, on a driver's license of here's the date, but then she'll say it was also Monday, right?
Yeah.
Or something. And it's like, well, that's not said anywhere or any place. So she has to be doing some other calculations in her head, which you can do. But in addition to doing whatever she's having to do in order to make this work, you know, maybe that's kind of a nice way of coding this. So it's just really impressive in the speed with which you do it. That's why everybody was saying, I've never, ever seen anything like that. I said, what about the clairvoyance or the evidence? Said, yeah, but these guys are better.
I think with... So we've got so much respect for the clairvoyants and the Eversons and
Simon Aronson and Jenny.
All we want to be is the best mind to mind we can be. We're a different act.
Yes. Yeah.
And we in no way feel like we're in competition with them.
Right.
What they've done and what they've done for magic and for this type of act has been incredible and groundbreaking. And Marina really wants to. We've met the clairvoyants and they were lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Marina really wants to. To meet Tessa as well because they both would be able to understand each other in what they have to go through. It's such a unique experience to be blindfolded and have to have all your senses heightened to the level. Marina's tried to explain it to me, and we've tried to do it in reverse, and it's tough.
Tell me, brother. I know, because my wife and I were working on a routine to take on a cruise ship, and we had been doing this for a while, some corporate things, and. If you miss, that person looks like an idiot. And she said, I don't want you to ever do that to me again. You know, I'm not picking up what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry. You know, it's all me. And she said, I know it's you.
Yeah.
And so, again, if you try to reverse that role, it is very difficult what they do.
Yeah. Because I've got comfort. I can see things. I know what's going on around. She can't. She doesn't know.
Yeah, she's blind. Yeah.
Yeah, she has to have complete trust in me.
So obviously again, don't want to go too deep into that, but I want to say that you guys work on that and then have that connection. I know there's sometimes when I have done magic, when people say, isn't like most of magic really just trickery and the rest of, you know, it's like the rest of it is like the real thing. It's like, no, 100% of it's trickery. I mean, we're all just magicians. There's no real magic. And that, do you have to say that from time to time where people are absolutely believing that you can, I don't know about telling the future or something. I remember talking about Glenn Falkenstein. That was what he had people come to him and say, who's going to win the Super Bowl? You know, will I get married? Or what about this job? Or whatever. I'm assuming people come to you from time to time and ask those kinds of things too. How do you respond to that?
All the time. Yeah. So we have our disclaimer in our show.
Mm.
We say that our show isn't about how it's done. It's about connection, love, and kindness. Mm. And I then state that if you're here to try and figure it out, I'll save you some time.
Yeah.
We're not psychic. We've never claimed to or never will claim to be psychic. But after the show,
having said that, still some people.
Can you help me get my ex back? Can you help me get a job?
Yeah.
Can you help me find a thing?
And what do you say?
Well, I think when it comes outside of entertainment, I think it's really important to be more transparent than you ever would be on stage.
Because you're trying to create a mood, a vibe, an atmosphere on stage. And when you're off stage, it's different.
Yeah. And I have to say that we're not psychic. It's not real. What we do is only for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But also I do like to add that if somebody tries to charge you money to do what you're asking, they're stealing from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's a really dark industry.
That's right.
So I do try to at least
give them
add some value.
Yeah, give some advice that they're not getting from somebody else.
Yeah.
Sounds like some practical advice. Well, that's good. That's a good way of handling that, of saying, well, this is not the answer, but this is what I think you should do or how I would handle a situation.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good way of...
And we've had other situations that were slightly harder where a lady contacted us and she was depressed and was kind of feeling suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, we first of all said we only do entertainment, but then I spoke to her for a few days.
Days, wow.
With Marina, just back and forth with messages.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to try and, we felt somehow like she'd reached out to us for a reason, and I had to make sure that she got the help that she needed.
Mm-hmm.
before stepping away.
Yeah.
Because if something had happened and I could have helped, I'd never forgive myself.
Right.
But we ended up getting her to, because she didn't want to tell her family. Mm-hmm. So we ended up convincing her to tell her family. And
it's amazing that she would tell an outsider as opposed to someone who was close to her.
Well, sometimes that's easier. Sometimes the detachment makes it easier to open up.
Yeah, because she doesn't know you. I see. Yeah. Just pondering that. That's true. I guess that makes sense, certainly. Well, that's another thing, is you really don't know how you're touching people's lives, just as you were talking about when you saw Glenn and Frances do their act on video about how that, I mean, look where you guys are today. That one little thing, you know, leads to another or something, or that the connection, you know, that you guys had over Tinder just so happened at the right time in the right place. And she was from the Ukraine, but she was living on her own and doing some modeling and kind of traveling, I guess, with an agent booking or wherever for trade shows and things like that.
Well, what Marina did was incredible. And it blew my mind how well she took to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So after we'd been working on the act for about 6 or 7 months, I took her to one of my residencies. So I used to do close-up in a restaurant every Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
They're called the Dubai Brunches. People go along and they drink as much as they like. And
you just kind of blow off Friday afternoon and just drink all afternoon.
So I used to have a residency there. So I asked the client, I said, can I bring my girlfriend at the time?
Yeah.
We want to try something that we're working on. So he's like, yeah, sure, please do. And I remember Marina's nerves on the first day. She was shaking. It was tough. But it was a good in, because I could win the table over with a 10-minute close-up set.
They loved you.
And then tell them what we're going to do. I say, listen, my girlfriend's here. We're working on something. Can we try it on you?
Yeah.
And that was the best way to get some performing experience for Marina. And then a couple of weeks of doing that, and she started to relax and feel comfortable. She knew that people were responding well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we filmed a corporate event, just roaming, and put it online. And that's when David Penn reached out. He had an idea for us to do something on Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah.
So then David Penn was amazing. So David Penn's an illusionist. He's one of the most awarded magicians in the UK. I think he's the most awarded magician in the UK.
I didn't know that.
And He invited us to his house.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to stay with him in Northampton. And every night building up to Britain's Got Talent, he was taking us out, getting us to perform our act and giving us notes on staging, on scripting. And it was the most incredible, like we learned so much more in that 1 month than we ever have in our lives. Because I was coming from close up.
Right.
But here's a guy who's a stage veteran, essentially, just so incredibly
and an outside
knowledgeable
person as a director, telling you, here's what you should do and here's how to correct this and that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Invaluable experience.
Wow. And then Marina did Britain's Got Talent, and she was less nervous on stage than I was.
Like, she was that's funny. She was just a complete reverse.
She just nailed it. I'm so, so proud.
And how'd you do in Britain Got Talent?
So we got a standing ovation. We got four yeses. That was unfortunately as far as it went.
Really? What happened?
Yeah. I don't know.
Wait a minute. I thought if you get four yeses, that means you go forward to the next level, right?
That's what I thought.
But you didn't?
No.
You just never heard from him again?
Never heard of
him. What?
Apparently, this is surprisingly common.
What?
I don't know. Yeah, four yeses, the standing ovation from the judges and the audience, but then nothing else happened.
I wonder if that's the same for America's Got Talent and others. And so it comes down to, at the end, when they look at it, I'll say, well, do we really want them to be on the TV show when they edit the whole thing together? Maybe they have too many yeses.
Well, I think they had X that year, Mark Spellman.
Yeah.
And he was doing the mask act with the big reveal.
Oh, that's right, yes.
So I don't know if it was maybe just too many mentalists. I don't know.
I've never heard that before.
Then we did Ukraine's Got Talent, and in the audition, we got the golden buzzer. But we were because of what had happened with Britain's Got Talent, we were just thinking, maybe they won't even show that.
Yeah, like that's into that.
Yeah, maybe they film way more than they need. And then so we didn't get excited until it actually went out on TV.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then you knew, I guess that we are. And so then the next thing was, after you got the golden buzzer, you a few weeks later came back.
Yeah, so we did the final. I did the whole thing in Ukrainian. I decided that would be the good thing
Ukrainian
to do. Yeah, 15 minutes of script.
Good for you.
I had a good teacher.
Yeah, well.
Unfortunately, we didn't win because we apparently can't compete with a 13-year-old opera singer.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
But when I saw this kid, I was like, yeah.
He deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was brilliant.
I remember so many years ago, my son was, I don't know, 12 or 11 or 12, and I had a Doll's House illusion that he and the next door neighbor, this little girl, would practice. And also he did a Dove production and then put her in a sword, you know, sword box and all that stuff. And anyhow, after she was produced, but had won for pretty far, but then got to the state competition, and the person that won actually had some real talent rather than a box tricks. You know, uh-huh. I taught him a few things that were kind of cool, but, you know, came down to someone who could sing and dance. It's like, that guy's, you know, spent a lifetime, you know, or I don't remember if he was a violin player or something. The point is, obviously had talent, you know, whereas mine, son just had a box.
Right.
So, yeah, I know what you mean. But still, you guys have got a lot of talent, and I'm glad that you went that far. Have you thought about going for America's Got Talent?
So, I think our Got Talent journey is probably...
Is it ended?
It's probably... Well, because the reason we...
You've accomplished what you wanted to by now.
Well, the reason that we did any of these things is because we learned so much in the journey.
That's important.
And it was... The nerves, the fear that we encounter just makes us grow as performers, which is why we wanted to perform for magicians at this convention, was because we knew we'd learn so much from it, and we did. And it's the reason we're entering FISM. So we're in FISM 2025. Mm-hmm. So we're also doing the Magic Circle competition in October.
Okay.
But all of those things, it's we're not dependent on the outcome. The important thing is between now and then, regardless of what happens, we're going to be different performers by the end.
Mm-hmm. You will.
And I think it was it Alex Ramon that said, always compete because it keeps you sharp?
I like that.
I love that. And I was like, yes, that's exactly why we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's great, great advice.
I have not heard that exact advice. A lot of times they'll say, you learn how to deal with deadlines.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
And it forces you to work towards that deadline. Because if you don't have a deadline, think, oh, I'll get to it eventually. Yeah. But if you're going to be I like that quote. Yeah, Alex is a smart guy. And since he had won, he's going to be going then on to FISM with that balance act he had with him and his dog, MJ.
Yeah. Which I think is great.
I think it is great. A very good show. Well, now, you had said earlier that Marina still goes by her maiden name as well, because she has separate business, because you have yours, she has hers, and then you have the two together. Or are you kind of doing more of just the two of you and starting to do less and less independently?
No, it's we're always together now. But to me, theatrically, it's very important that I have my own character, Marina has her own character, and then us as a couple is a third character.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think just for texture, For an audience, I think is important that we're both very defined as individuals,
yeah,
as well as a couple.
That makes sense. Okay. But you're not necessarily, she's not going out and you're going out, like, you're still doing magic gigs from time to time, just independently, or not?
No, not really. I do occasionally do close-up, but it's only if a corporate client books our gold package, which is stage show and roaming afterwards.
Gotcha. Okay.
So then it's good to do the two different genres.
And do you work with an agent, or you handle all these on your own?
So we have a manager, but there are lots of agents in Dubai, so we work with quite a lot of them.
Now, are agents there similar to what they are in the U.S.? And I'm asking about this for the U.K. as well as Dubai, whereas a lot of, quote, agents are really more, I call them birthday party or party planners, which they're trying to pay you as little as they can and get as much, because they have a lot of other things that they're doing of trying to get the cake and whatever else is all the rest. And so they're really not watching out for your best interests.
I think it works a little bit different in Dubai, which I didn't get when I first arrived, but I think is the best way forward. Mm-hmm. An agent, one of the first agents I met, sat me down and said, listen, this is how it works. You tell me what you want, I'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
What we get is none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think fair enough.
That's right.
If they're paying what you've asked for.
You've asked for, right.
And they're doing the marketing and they're getting you the gig, mm-hmm. they can charge what they want.
That's right.
It's none of our business.
Yeah.
So I think it's nowhere near as transparent as it is in the UK. So in the UK, you just know the percentage and the agent just puts a percentage on top,
yeah,
or takes a percentage off what you've asked for.
Okay. They're much more defined. It sounds like the U.S. is not. It's kind of like the same way here that we don't know what you're getting. And the only way that I know that they're getting too much is if I say yes. Because if I say, okay, I'm going to set my price to this, I'm going to say, well, nobody's charging that. And I say, well, I am independently. So, well, you're not working for me. And I said, you're right. So,
yeah.
But if you say something less, oh, we can work with that.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I'd be happy with that. You know, whatever you're saying, you should be happy with. I agree. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And usually with when you develop trust with an agent, they won't. We've heard some horror stories of there was an agency in Dubai that had booked a violinist, mm-hmm. and they'd pushed the violinist down on price to I'll say in dirhams, I don't know what it would be in dollars.
Dirhams, you say that?
Dirhams is the local currency there. So she'd had to like knock off half the price to like 1,000 dirhams, which I think is just a couple of $100.
Okay.
And then the client at the gig, so she'd got her to discount, and then the client asked her to do an extra set, and she said no, and the client said, "Come on, we're paying 20,000 dirhams for this."
Oh my gosh!
And she ended up saying to the agent, "Look, I'm going to leave now unless you go and get me 20,000 dirhams from the ATM."
Mm-hmm.
So the agent went and did it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good way of putting. That's a good ending for that.
Yeah, yeah. but most agents, it goes up to, I think, kind of 35% agents would charge on top of the artist fee.
Well, in Dubai. A proper agent would certainly, I think, who is working for you. In other words, if you have a party planner, they have some, you know, they just have a stable of people, and you're not bound to work for them, and they're not bound to work for you. But an agent really represents you and is doing the best thing. Man, James is great, and Marina, this Mind to Mind is just the best act, and they're working for, as opposed to saying, well, you want me? Okay, they're not available, we'll get to the next one. Yeah, you've got just a stable of people that they can kind of work with. Similar along that line as far as that story, I'll try to be brief about this as well. This is one that I know I've told before, but a friend of mine in Omaha, Nebraska, was doing a show similarly, saying that I don't have much money. I'll give you like $150, you know, for this. But that's all that he said. Actually, I'm giving you everything. I said that I'd give you more, but this is all they're giving me. So I'm giving you 100% of everything I'm getting. And did you get this? And he said, okay, I'll do that then for you if that's all you're getting. After the show was over, the guy said, that was great, loved it. Should I make a check out to you or to the agent? He said, well, it's supposed to all go to me. Just write it to me. And it was $1,000 for that. And he was only supposed to be getting $150. Wow. So he made the check out to him for $1,000. And a day or two later, you know, the agent called and said, hey, how'd the show go? I said, oh, very well. And he said, you didn't happen to get, you know, they give you the pay check? I said, yes, I did. And then he said, and they said, they made it out to me. And he said, you told me that I was going to be getting 100% of that. So I kept it all. And he said, well, you'll never work for me again. He said, you're right. I'll never work for you again.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing.
So those kinds of stories, you know, that kind of happens out there. I'm glad that's not too
agents,
frequent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goodness me.
Or unscrupulous agent. But it sounds like that the you're just killing it, you know, with the larger theater with the 450 seat theater with people being there 100% capacity most nights. The thing that you're doing here, I think this is in part why that people are talking so much about your act is not something that is commonly seen as an illusionist or close-up or whatever else. As I said, there are just three or four people in the world that I can name who do your act. And the fact that you guys had done it here in a smaller venue, like where we're seated right now, actually, that would see, and you're limited to 30 people, you can get around and borrow something from everybody, as opposed to being in a theater where it's like you're six rows away from somebody and you're holding up something, hoping that you come to them, but you just don't have time to get around. But here, people, it was a visceral thing that we could interact with you so much closer and see how this works. It's much more amazing than being at a distance. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's what made this so intensely exciting, I think, for everybody.
Yeah. And that was, we did that very intentionally because this is our vacation time.
Okay.
So we're
and your first time at a magic convention, is that right?
Yeah. No. We've been to a few. Just again.
I mean, as far as performing
vacation. Yeah, yeah. So we wanted to do it. We volunteered to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to have to worry about tech.
Well,
I wanted to be able to connect with people. So keeping it intimate, but doing more shows was very important.
Uh-huh. Most people would really just say the opposite. I don't want to work that hard. You know, but you guys work like what, 2-3 shows a night for like three or four nights in a row?
Eight in total, yeah.
You guys are crazy.
Yeah.
But everybody loved it.
Yeah. And we loved it. It was amazing. It was amazing. After the initial nerves had subsided.
I think it was because of the intimacy that just increased the enjoyment of everybody then as well. When I talked with Michael Chout, who's by the way, a producer of Monday Night Magic, and he was one who introduced us when we were at Magic Live, and he was saying, I guess, that you kind of stepped in one night at Monday Night Magic, and he said, I just need something you to do a few minutes. He said, they nailed it. I said, could believe it. They were the best that we've had.
Okay. Yeah. That was amazing. That was another big surprise doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you just in the audience that night, or how'd that work out?
Yeah, we were just having dinner, watching the close up.
Yeah,
and they said, "Do you want to do a bit?" So okay. Does anybody have a blindfold?
Yeah.
And Max, do you know Max?
I do know Max. Yeah, yeah.
He had a blindfold.
Okay, what a coincidence.
So, yeah, that was good.
I mean, how many people carry blindfolds around? You know.
I know. I did ask him why he has it. He doesn't use it in his act, so.
That's a whole other story probably I didn't want to talk about. Okay. Funny enough, Max was another guy that Michael introduced me to, and so I had booked him for next year, so he's going to be with us here in Dallas when we have our TAOM convention then as well. And I was just introduced him to Gabe Blackstone. We were sitting there having a couple of martinis, and I was telling her that I am booking him based upon what Michael had said. She said, I trust Michael's judgment also, but I'd like to see the act because we're going to be filming like in 2 weeks, and I need somebody now. And so he said, well, just a minute. And he came back, and he brought a bunch of forks from upstairs, did some silverware bending, just impressive. And so, hey, can you do this? So I think you might be seeing him on Masters of Illusion, you know, coming
amazing,
up soon.
Amazing. I think he mentioned that. That would be great. Yeah.
Have you guys talked about that? Well, the problem is, I think she said the mentalism, it's hard for mentalism to work on television. But yours is fast paced. So you could do two or three things. You don't have to do the whole act, you know, I think for TV.
Yeah.
As you've proven with Got Talent shows.
True. Yeah. It's a tough one for things like the routine that we were doing here with the objects, because there's a natural build, but it changes in every show. So it depends. Like, I always know when to change the staging, so we have somebody cover Marina's eyes, but I know when the right point is, and that's pretty much near the end of the bit.
Yeah,
but I can feel it in the room when we get to the most excited it's probably going to get, It's always a different object that gets the room. So in one of the shows, somebody had a sonata gimmick.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
That killed it. And I was like, well, we're not going to top that. So let's move on. And then there was another one where there was a set of AirPods, and Marina said that they were empty.
Mm-hmm.
So then I opened it up and they were empty, and that killed. And then we move on. So it's really hard to, this is what.
Something's hard to top.
But this is what we're going to struggle with in competition, is because we have to bring it down to 10 minutes. And keep it consistent.
Yeah.
So that's the real challenge for us there.
And you don't know what people are going to be bringing and to keep it fresh and organic.
Exactly. So we've got some ideas, but that's what we're going to be working on now.
How long is your show in Dubai?
90 minutes.
So I've seen Tommy Tan and Emily perform as a clairvoyance in a full evening show then as well. But what do you do in the 90-minute show? I mean, you can't do the two mind-to-mind for 90 minutes.
No, of course not. So the show's called Connected. It's about connection, love, and kindness. And it's the first 15 minutes is what you saw here, which is us showing what we can do with our connection. And then we move on to begin to connect with the audience, and then eventually give people in the audience, like a couple, to do the ability to do what we do.
Okay.
So it becomes about the audience. We move into a Q&A, which is kind of the centerpiece of the show, under the premise that it's positive personal memories. It's not question and answer. Because memories, and this is true, memories and imagination are actually stored in the same parts of the brain as each other. So if you imagine somebody else's memory, it's a way of connecting through essentially a shared experience. So we have a bit in there where Marina stands on the stage and she starts to, like a Q&A, but now she's getting their memories.
Correct.
And we're all able to
And you build on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't take but just a little bit to make it sound bigger and you're reading their minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So you're connecting with other people from the audience then too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then after that, we have a kind of what our director used to call kind of lifting the curtain moment, where we talk a little bit about our lives and love being the most powerful form of connection. And
that breaks the fourth wall better, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we invite a couple who are in love mm-hmm. to come and join us on stage and see if they can do something incredible together.
I assume as you're looking for newlyweds and people like that, a lot of times who will come up saying,
yeah.
how well do you really know each other yet?
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we've had a few proposals during that bit, which okay. is always amazing.
Have you had a lot of unusual, well, let me ask this, what has been one of the most unusual things that has happened?
I think so, other than the proposals are probably the best ones.
Mm-hmm. And he talked with you beforehand, so you knew that was going to
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, I knew it was coming, yeah. so I had a way of engineering it.
Yes.
So that, because we always, so the routine begins with us sitting on the edge of the stage, either side.
Mm-hmm.
We ask, if anybody's lucky enough to come here tonight with someone you love, hold their hand. Then Marina comes over and she holds my hand. And then we start delivering this, it's not monologue because there's two of us, but you know what I mean? This piece where we get people to close their eyes and picture the person they love. And mm-hmm. we talk about the power of love and why it's important. And if the person isn't here, imagine that they are. From there, we talk a little bit about how we met and how we, the first mm-hmm. first date, we were looking up at the night sky and we realized that, that even though that night sky was unique, at the same time, millions of people were looking at the same night sky, connecting us all in a shared experience in that moment.
I like it.
And then it's once the couples heard each other's thoughts, we then present them with a star map, which is an image of the night sky, the way that it would have appeared in this case on the date and location that the couple either met or got married. So that gets a lot of tears
sure.
and emotion.
Ooze, nahs, and yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the whole thing is very, very fun. But we want to live the connection. It's not just the name of the show and it's not just the content right. of the show. So we, after the show, we do the meet and greet, but we also have an after party, which all the guests that come to our show
nice.
Are invited to. So there's a restaurant close to, in the same hotel. And, they have an area for us and we just go and hang out with our guests.
That's got to be good for the hotel because that's going to be more business for them.
You know? Yeah, I know.
Obviously, they're coming in too, where people get to ask you and do their own Q&A, you know, questions with you
exactly.
as well. Well, one question I'm sure that you often get asked whenever you're on TV or something, or maybe what is the most unusual thing that you have picked up that someone's handed you?
We've had someone bought an onion once.
That's weird.
To the show. David Penn introduced us to a footballer. I think his name was Stephen Baywater. I don't know football very
well. I don't either.
But he introduced us to a footballer in Abu Dhabi. David was over there for a conference. And we went to the Fairmont Hotel and we'd gone to this steakhouse and David had told him about what we do. And he'd taken a set of curtains from his hotel room.
Oh my gosh.
Put them in a bag.
No way.
That's what he pulled out.
No way. okay. That is quite unusual. I was thinking like a condom, but that's probably pretty common actually.
Yeah.
out of the wallet or something, but a curtain, goodness, and an onion. Those are a couple of weird things. Wow. Interesting. Well, thank you. I appreciate your time going through all of this. And I know this has been a long conference and you had to get some sleep sometime. I'm glad we finally got together. I'm sorry Marina was not here, that she's got a migraine, you said, which is kind of interesting. As much as brain powers
she's exhausted. We both are, but yeah, it's she just needed a day to decompress. And,
decompress completely. Yep. I understand. So the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word Podcast. And so I always like to close by asking my guests what it is that's your word. What is your philosophy of life, or could be a phrase?
Okay. I guess my word would be connection.
Connection. Of course it would be.
Yeah. And philosophy-wise, we try as hard as we can, and it's not always easy mm-hmm. to subscribe to a Stoic philosophy,
mm-hmm.
which is only consider or worry about things that are within our control
mm-hmm.
and let everything else go.
That's right. Don't worry about everything else. Just worry about the things that you can control.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. connections. Well, I'm glad that I had a chance to connect with you and spend some time. And it's through that connection that we had, mentioning Michael Chalfant again, that we actually were able to get together here. And thank you for the time you've given me. And I know the listeners are getting a lot out of this as well. So if people want to get in touch with you or follow you, what are all your socials? And
that? So Instagram's probably the best. Okay. We both manage it. So it's a lot quicker when there's two of us on it. It's Mind to Mind Official.
Okay, and that's Mind and the number two?
Yeah.
Mind. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
Mind to Mind Official. And people are very welcome to reach out. We always respond if anybody wants any advice on this type of act or theater in general or anything. Or if they just want to chat, to reach out. Yeah,
it's awfully nice because you can tell, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls who are listening to this, about how open that James is. And this has just been wonderful. He'd be glad to talk with you then as well. Well, thanks again for the chat. I wish you good luck. And from here, you go to where, you said?
We're off to L.A. We're going to spend a few days there. We're going to visit the castle. And
You're not working the castle. You'll enjoy it. Have you been there before? Or?
We have. We have. Yeah,
okay.
We love it.
Okay. Yeah. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was James Harrington. Scotty out.
Thank you, James, for being my guest this week on the MagicWordPodcast.com. I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and chat with me about getting to meet Marina and how you developed your act and all that. It is very fascinating. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck, fortune, and joy as you go into not only the rest of your career, but into this next year as well. We are closing out the end of this year here shortly. So if you are looking at making some sort of donation, I want to remind everybody that you would be become a friend of the Magic Word. It'd be great if you could help us out with your financial pledge on Patreon or on PayPal. You just go to themagicwordpodcast.com and there will be a link that will show you why we need your support. So this is not tax deductible or anything, but it is something that goes to helping something that I know that you love, and that is listening to these podcasts from week to week. I want one last thing is to remind everybody, if you have not been aware of The Magic Whisper, that is a video blog or a vlog that I've been posting onto YouTube with links on Facebook that essentially just gives you a few updates and some news on what's happening in the magic world as I have heard it. I've tried to keep my finger on the pulse, not only with upcoming conventions, but people who are going to be performing and their lectures and people going to be on television, working in Las Vegas or on cruise ships or wherever they might happen to be. I'm not trying to limit this to any part of the country or even to just this country. So if you happen to have any news bits you would like to submit to me, you can send them to me at scott@themagicwordpodcast.com. And I will be glad to post that on an upcoming Magic Whisper vlog. So again, just go to YouTube and you can type in Scott Wells Magic or Texas Magician, The Magic Whisper, something like that. I'm sure that you'll find it. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember, there's nothing more important than connecting with another human. This is Scotty out.